The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
All right, let's go. It's another spring-like day in the city of Chicago. All these days feel good after the deep freeze we had and all the snow.
Thought you were going to do a bare-chested promo today.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not because I'm out.
Shirt off.
Not because I was out in the driveway soaking up the sun, but because I'm celebrating with the shirt off for an all-star.
Yeah!
Hey, woo! Now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Yeah,
the fellas
exactly
think that you should take a victory lap. I think you helped get this thing across the finish line.
You know what?
With your support.
Abdallah said that to me in the pre-show meeting.
You think he was tweaking you?
I do, and I don't think I ever really did an all-star driver campaign.
It's guys like you. It's guys like Cap, the real Zach LaVine fans, the real true Zach LaVine fans that have watched single game.
I'm a Zach LaVine fan.
No, you're a hater. You're a hater.
You can kiss my backside,
you're a hater.
Bro. I've been a Zach LaVine fan longer than everybody.
You're a hater.
I was delusional before all these guys became delusional.
You're one of the guys that Cap was subtweeting. You're a hater. But congratulations to Sylvie.
Is.
Congratulations to Cap. Your guy, finally an all-star. Is he inviting you to Atlanta? Were you part of the call last night?
You didn't see that Zoom when he thought that he was going on with the media? The Bulls just didn't include it because it ran a little long. I was right between his parents and Jamal Crawford.
Right.
I should say we.
Silly
because
told
it was
me about
sort
this.
Of like my Valentine's Day prank.
Yeah.
I was working with the Bulls. I was in on the think tank that, hey, why don't we tell Zach that once he gets to the All-Star game that we're going to do a Zoom call with the media, but this is going to be all of his biggest supporters. We'll get his mom and his dad. We'll get his sister. We'll get Jamal Crawford, who he's played with, who's from Seattle as well. He's worked out with him.
Yep.
We'll get Thaddeus Young on the call. And, of course, I'll be there.
That's
and
right.
They edited that out. I don't understand.
You got edited out from what I understand because, like, you patented hey, how you doing thing is, hey, girl, and it just didn't fit. It was like, what are you doing?
Who is this?
It doesn't fit.
You're ruining the feel good.
Right. Listen,
someone's crashing the party.
This is one of those situations where you're like, justice served. He deserved to be an all-star. He's an all-star. He earned it. So we should all, as Bulls fans, be happy for Zach.
Yes.
This is a well-earned honor.
Yes. Yes. Like, my argument has been less about... If we're being truthful, my argument has been less about what good would that do?
Right.
My argument is less about him getting to the All-Star and what he means for the Bulls in their future. Like that to me, everything that I'm judging this team on as a crazy Bulls fan, as one of the Bulls fans who was in that building in the Chicago Stadium before Michael Jordan, with 4,000 of my closest friends, going way back with my grandfather to some of these games when no one cared about them. Like, this team means as much to me as the Bears and the Cubs mean to some others.
You're a big roller, too. High roller. Front row seats, on the floor.
Dude,
we were all on
the floor back in the day.
Damn.
There were 3,000 people watching Reggie Theus play basketball.
Yeah.
It was David Greenwood and Reggie Theus and Artis
Gilmore,
Tate Armstrong.
2,700 of those fans were sitting in the seats up above, and you were on the floor.
They were all box seats.
Riding high.
Yes, my grandfather was an original season ticket
holder.
Was
he a red ass too as a fan? Your grandfather, is that where you got it?
He would get, I think Bleck and Abdallah every now and then laugh at me. They laugh at me for many things. They laugh at me for every now and then I can still take the bait and get on an official. And my grandfather, the seats used to be attached four across, okay? There, back in the stadium, Waddle, they were basically car chairs. You know, they were like these thin little chairs. They weren't like the seats installed at the United Center and everything.
Times have changed.
And my grandfather would get on the officials, and he could lift four seats up in front of him at a time because, one, no one was sitting in those seats, and because just,
they were connected,
yeah. And they were light.
I know.
He would get so mad, he would know all the officials. One time, he took the basketball, and he put it underneath the seat, and he was embarrassing me greatly.
Oh, that is,
because
that
he wouldn't
is,
give
I know
it back
where
it to
came
the official.
From.
We went, and again, this wasn't because we had money, or because it was because he was in regional season ticket holder in 66, 67 at the International Amphitheater, and no one cared about this team really until the mid 70s when they were good, and then they got bad again, and then no one cared about them until Michael Jordan came to town.
Let me guess. At one point, he got so mad at one of the officials, he called him a double-A washout, and that's where you got it.
No, never called them a double A washout. Right. But he would know all the officials' names, so he could. Yes, he could. He was much more mild mannered than I am now, except when it came to getting on the officials. He could get up and yell traveling with the best. He's turning over in his grave the way these guys walk for a step back three these days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the step back three is, really. It's just one gigantic travel, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't really. For the last several years, I mean, prior to my father-in-law, you know, being ill, I couldn't watch an NBA or an NFL game with him because he got so angry, gets so visibly angry about the lack of calling the traveling call. And in the NFL, he always felt, because he played for 10 years in the league, he always felt that they got the rule wrong, that the entire ball needed to cross the goal line. And if you didn't get the entire football across the goal line, that's not a touchdown.
I'm with him.
So pissed off when he would watch games.
Just breaking the plane. It should be a touchdown. You should have to touch down in the end zone, right?
That's basically kind of what he was thinking.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm with him on that.
Yeah.
So 312-332-3776 is Zach LaVine did make the All Star game.
Can I do something sobering here? With Zach, I'm a fan. You know, I've told you I want them to build with him, not without him. You know all of that good stuff. But we're talking about where do the Bulls go from here, right? They've got 5 games left before the All Star break, correctly? So when we ask, what are the Bulls going to do prior to the trade deadline? What should they do? I just want to add, and I have enjoyed the hell out of watching, as I've told you, I like the new management group. I love what Zach's done. My intention is there. But I'm a realist at this point as well. They're 2 games under 500. And they're 14 wins. 2 of them have come against teams that have winning records. We'd be killing the Bears for that. So my point is, and the Bears were a more mature product than this Bulls team. I'm just saying to you, I hope to God that they remain patient and that if they are forced to do something, and you got 5 games to figure out who they are before the trade or the All-Star break, and then you got games into the trade deadline. I just hope they're taking a nice, long, patient, long-term look at things and they don't do anything like silly or foolish. Does that make any sense?
Did you even know this? And I forgot all about it until Greeny brought it up and Casey Johnson was just tweeting about this, that the second half schedule isn't out yet.
It's not even out yet. Yeah,
it's not even out. They're announcing that at 3.
So yes. It's out now.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
the whole thing
is officially
out?
Okay. Now,
2 o'clock our time. Okay, so that's when it came out. But it's funny because, you know, they wanted to see where the season would go, where the COVID would be,
right,
what they can do with crowds, how many postponements they would have. And then, like, they were just talking on Greeny's show about how crazy some of it is. And we could get into that in a little bit. But yeah, that's my thing. And that's where I've sort of moved off of this whole what is Zach and how much you should pay Zach. Because I do believe there are other hurdles that Arturas Karnišević needs to get through with Mark Eversley with this team going forward. And it's the fight that I'm having now with some Bulls fans, including C-Red Fred, who loves to battle about his Bulls. He's always overloving them. And I've been there. I've done that. I've overloved hardworking Bulls teams before.
Sure.
I'm raising my hand. I am guilty. I have wanted them to be good for so long. But again, you cannot, like, Abdallah brought up again as he was tweaking me in the pre-show fistfight. It seemed like today was Tweak Sylvie Day.
Every day is Tweak Sylvie Day.
he was bringing up Sylvie. You've been making this thing about Thaddeus Young getting a first-round pick. I don't know if we can get a first-round pick for him. And fine, then there's no argument, okay? My argument has been, if someone's willing to buy Thaddeus Young with one more year on his deal, so you get him for two postseasons, when he's playing as efficient basketball as he's ever played.
It's been fantastic.
And a winning team says, look, we could be a Thaddeus Young away, a guy who's been passing the ball well, a guy who can rebound the ball, a guy who's good inside the locker room, who could come off the bench and give us some punch offensively and defensively. We're willing to give up the 27th pick in the draft or whatever it may be for Thaddeus Young, because we're in the group of teams that can compete with Brooklyn and the Lakers and the Clippers and all these teams. I'm in the camp that says trade him.
Yeah.
Now if a team comes to you and says, hey, we're willing to give you our 2022 second-round pick.
No, I'm
like, the juice, like you always say, Waddle,
yep,
the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Then you say, look, he's got enough value inside our locker room, on our court, developing and alike within this team where you keep him. My whole thing, though, going forward is, this isn't about today. This isn't about this postseason with the Bulls.
Amen.
Let's keep our eye on the ball here. This is still about building a championship-level team. And all moves must be made with the seventh banner in mind. And Cap just brought this story up, and we've told the story many times over the years, that in John Paxson's first year, okay? So it's a comp with Arturas. In John Paxson's very first draft, he could have drafted Dwayne Wade. He had his pick and a very highly regarded veteran that he valued, and that was Donyell Marshall. And Toronto wanted that pick and Marshall to move up so the Bulls could draft Dwayne Wade. And Pax said, can't do it. Means too much to our team. Donyell Marshall, too important. He's the glue. He's the glue guy. And instead of worrying about the 2003-04 Bulls, he should have been worried about the 7-8 Bulls. And Donyell Marshall was never going to be a part of a title team. And yes, I'm not telling you that guys inside the locker room aren't valuable, but we're talking about a Hall of Fame player in Dwayne Wade that we didn't get, that Chicago didn't get originally in the draft because they overvalued Donyell Marshall. Don't do that with Thaddeus Young. Eventually, and I'm just saying, if you can, I don't even know if you can get this back.
Right.
But if you can, or you can make a trade for something that you really believe in, say he needs to be a part of a deal where he could get Karl-Anthony Towns, the next superstar. You cannot fall in love with guys on a 38-win team just because he's a really good dude and you're having fun this year.
This is the walk and chew gum conversation. I can enjoy the hell out of this. I can think that Zach deserved his All-Star nomination and be very thrilled with his progress. And also tell you, I think right now that they are a long way away from being a totally finished product. So I'm just hoping the new management group takes that approach.
Bulls fans, I want to share something with you. This has been the home of something that you've been very proud of, but something that you cannot overlove. 332-3776. I want to share that with you. Remember, you can watch on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Anything you want to hear live, one touch of a button, you get the live access. You want anything that you missed on demand, it's right there too. 332-3776. We have had this in the city of Chicago, but we have overloved it, and I'm warning you about it coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So I love this town, and there's no town in America that appreciates a good lunch bucket mentality like Chicago. Good blue-collar lunch bucket.
I got my lunch bucket with me right now. I've carried it with me since I got here in 89.
That's example number one. It's Tom Waddle. Look at this guy. Mediocre career, star media career.
Is this Meller? I mean, did you leave and Meller stepped in?
Because we overlove our lunch bucket guys in this town. No, I'm kidding with you. Well, this is about the Bulls that I'm talking about.
Say the Bulls? Did you say the Bulls?
Oh. The Bulls. The Bulls. The B-U-L-L-S. Only the Bulls.
Your Bulls bulge.
Yeah. You know, guys like Taj Gibson are awesome. We've interviewed Taj Gibson many, many times. He's a friend of the show. Like, Taj Gibson's don't win you championships. Andres Nocioni's don't win you championships. Kirk Heinrich doesn't win you championships. Thaddeus Young doesn't win you championships. Danielle Marshall doesn't win you championships. And these guys in Chicago, we have been really good at finding these guys. John Paxson and Gar Forman could find you a good old-fashioned role player. They could find you a role player, but they couldn't find you a star except for the one that landed them at number one.
Derrick Rose.
In their lap. So when it comes to AK now, as he builds this team, I got to tell you guys, do not overvalue the lunch bucket hardworking guys. That's why I've been so much a Zach fan, because he's played like a star.
They can be vital components of your team. They can't be the focal point of your team.
Right. And when it's a focal, when it's a vital part of your team and it's a championship team, that's different.
Right.
Tony Kukoc on the 1996 to 1998 Bulls is different than Tony Kukoc on this team at 2-under.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Tony Kukoc is a vital part of the championship team. That's a different story. Those role guys are different. Steve Kerr, Bill Wennington, those guys are different. You're ready to win with – you have Michael Jordan. You have Scottie Pippen. You have Dennis Rodman. You have players who are elite at what they do. But until you find the elite players, you cannot overlove these guys on the road to find these other guys. And anybody who can get you something, a greater asset going forward – to pair with Zach and to get your team better, who's going to be the next star to come to town? Who can you package for a higher pick?
Here to amplify your point here. If Lauri Markkanen was healthy and excelling, if Kobe White was more consistently contributing, and Thaddeus Young was doing what he was doing, it'd be perfect. But the point is Thaddeus Young's been your second best player. Aside from Zach, he's your second most efficient player. Thaddeus Young has been. So that's where you can't put too much value in him being your second best player. He's got to be a guy that fills a role as long as Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White are more consistent and making those strides.
Right, right. Johnny Vegas in Twitch says, Sylvie, you're being a meathead. Nobody wants to come to Chicago. Johnny, I know you're chatting while you're listening. You got to listen here. I'm not telling you to go out and find the free agent. You can trade for him. Every 6 months, someone is unhappy. When will Damian Lillard be unhappy? Can Carl Anthony Towns benefit from a change of scenery? Can you draft somebody if you don't make the playoffs this year? Can you package multiple picks and move up and draft the next star the way Cleveland drafted LeBron or the way some of these other teams drafted lottery picks and he becomes a star? There are many different ways to go for it.
Can we turn Giannis against the Bucks in some way, shape, or form and make him
right.
want to leave?
Yeah. Well, Giannis was drafted, right? So you've got to draft them. You've got to find them. And this wasn't a free agent to Chicago thing. This is a don't overlove your role, guys. And if you can cash in with multiple picks, then you're better off with those picks, because the more picks you have, the higher you can move up for in a draft to get another star. The more picks you have, the more enticing a team is willing to deal with you when they have the unhappy star. James Harden was just traded. Kyrie Irving has been traded multiple times. There's going to be a guy here in 3 to 6 months. And this was something the Pax never got. Pax was never ready too much. Sylvie, what do you want? What do you want us to do? Derek got hurt. What do you want us to do, Sylvie? We don't have anything. All I'm telling you is stockpile it. Stockpile it. And this isn't a free agent to Chicago pitch. This is a don't overlove your 2020-21 Bulls right now. and say, well, we can't get rid of Thaddeus, Sylvie. He's playing great ball. And did you hear
what Zach Levine? I think you're speaking to C-Red Fred is who you're speaking to.
Well, yeah, and other people, too. And it's more than just one. You know, there are lots of – this is Chicago. We love – and I've told you, I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of overloving guys like this before. He's on the line. C-Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000.
Sylvie, I am just just crazy. Going crazy here.
Apoplectic?
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah. That's the word.
I'm here
the
for
analogy
you,
of Daniel Marshall, do you know what this is? This is not Daniel Marshall. This is 2009. In 2009, nobody believed that Joakim Noah would be a star. In February 2009, let's go back to February 2009, the Bulls in February, Dan got hurt. And everybody, I heard this exact same thing that you're saying on the airways when I was driving around the city. Trade Ben Gordon, he's going to be leaving. Rebuild. Derrick Rose is a rookie. He looks good, but, you know, what's it going to be? What did the Bulls do? They traded for John Salmons and Brad Miller. And in 2009, we lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Celtics. But you know what? That playoff experience was essential to Rose and Noah's development. Nobody would have believed in 2009 that Noah would be a top five in MVP voting in 2014. But you're telling me let's get rid of Thad. You're putting a ceiling on Levine. You're putting a ceiling on Williams.
I'm the opposite of Levine. I'm not. I'm trying to enhance Levine, and there's a huge difference here, C-Red Fred. Number one, I'm not saying to trade Thaddeus Young. I'm telling you if you could get something good in return, you trade Thaddeus Young. Number two, Joakim Noah was what in 2009? A 25-year-old player who was still super raw?
23, yeah, second year.
Okay, yeah. That's you're playing even more into my point. He's a 23-year-old raw player that needed to be developed. Thaddeus Young is in his 13th season right now, and he has one more year left on his deal. His value will never be higher on the open market. So if you can pounce and capitalize over getting a guy whose value is high, you jump and you don't think about the 2021 postseason. You're thinking about winning a championship in 2024.
Sylvie, you're missing my point. Brad Miller was essential for Joakim Noah's development.
Brad Miller didn't do diddly for the Bulls in any of those playoff games where they got to the conference finals. They didn't win a championship. They
didn't win a championship. You don't understand, though. He was essential for the development of Joakim Noah. I talked with Joakim Noah that summer after that playoff. I was at the Perdo Center. I met with Joakim. And he will tell you, get him on the radio, he will tell you, Brad Miller was essential for my development into a great player. So I understand what you're saying.
Certainly expendable. The Brad Millers are expendable. Thaddeus Young's the same thing. Same thing with Daniel Marshall. Same thing with every guy, C-Red Fred, that you have overloved. You have overloved John Paxson on these airwaves for 5 years. 5 years later, now you're on board that the change of scenery and the change of management is important. I yelled at you for 5 years that these guys weren't taking you anywhere, and you brought your overlove of those guys, too. You're doing it again. Every take you've had on this show has been wrong for 5 years.
That's not true. I've been right on every single thing I've said. I said, we're going to be a seventh seed this year. I'm right. What did I say about the Butler trade? I said we won the Butler trade. Did we not win the Butler trade? You say yes or no. Did we not win the Butler trade? I want to hear you say it on national airwaves.
Anytime you have to sell a player like Jimmy Butler because you suck and you don't know how to build your team, you lose the trade. I know Zach's turning out good, but the essence of that is we're losers. We can't use a two-way player in his prime, and we have to deal him.
That's
fault.
Not what the message was.
Oh,
the message was,
Jimmy Butler had mileage on him.
Jimmy Butler had mileage on him. You're going to pay Jimmy Butler a supermax, which is what they would have had to pay him 2 years out.
Jim Boylan would still be coaching the team if it was up to you.
Remember, Sylvie?
I fired that guy in 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Tommy. What are you saying?
No, I was going to say, you remember when, I think, didn't we interview Brad Miller and he was at the zoo with his kid one time?
Yes, he was a great guest.
I mean,
say about him when he would run down with his threes in the air?
What did I used to say?
Wasn't it yip yip yo?
I remember we had a really good interview with him when he was at the zoo with his daughter. I think. Am I right?
I think he was a farmer too.
Tommy, could you tell Sylvie, did you have a mentor who helped you develop as a football player that led you to greater greatness? Did you have that? And it's not Donyell Marshall. I'm talking about Thad Young. Did you have that when you played football?
I think there's some value to it, but you've got a coach and a staff that is there to help develop your players. So,
yeah,
like,
it's not about that, though.
I get it, Fred. But like, sure there's only it. There's a limit to the value that a player presents to the environment because he is a veteran.
See, like, when we get to the heart of it, this is Sylvie. This is you saying Tibbs is the guy who made these guys. When the fact of the matter is, Sylvie, and this is a fact, Derrick Rose was an All-Star before Tibbs arrived. Taj Gibson was All-Rookie before Tibbs arrived. Jakeem Noah was already a fantastic defensive player before Tibbs arrived. You give far too much credit for Tibbs for the greatness
Fred, but let me ask you a question. Why wasn't Thad Young as effective last year?
Because of coaching. Okay. Hey, I'm the guy who got on. Did I not get on before the season? I said, how many more wins is Billy Donovan? I said seven wins. And what did you guys do? You laughed at me. Seven more wins.
Wait a second. Right now, I mean, like... I don't know, sort of a victory parade. I don't know
yet.
That you can quantify that you're correct about that right now. Again, this Bulls team that's got my attention is 14-16, and it's got two wins
against teams, Fred,
that currently have winning records.
Here's your bit. Here's your bit, though. The over-under in Vegas is always like 27, and you come on and tell us they're going to win 37, and you just yell that the seventh championship is on the way, and one time in the last decade they've overachieved, and now you're doing a victory lap? You just say the same thing every year.
That's not what I do.
You're
Phil, you know my
clock.
Mantra. Seven
pick
and 17.
That's what you are.
I love you guys. But look in the...
I love you, and goodbye is like goodbye.
You can find another
you,
veteran who can help.
Yeah,
guys.
Like that doesn't mean that you don't have appreciation for the player that Thad Young is. It's time and place, and you measure what he provides versus what you could get that will help you in the future. It's a really simple equation.
He's the broken clock that's right twice a day. That's all it is. He shouts the same damn thing every year. And now he's been right 1 year that they've overachieved. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
That was refreshing.
More on the Bulls. Also, what a win for the Hawks. I want to show some appreciation for someone on this show today. I've had too much anger in my heart
the
last 5 minutes.
You're too kind, but yes, if you'd like to.
We throw bouquets at a guy who has been here for a lot of years. It's not Tom Waddle. Next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Got other people fired up wanting to talk about the Bulls. It is good that we could talk about the Bulls again, isn't it, guys? I mean...
Yes! I said this yesterday. It's fun to have good conversations about your favorite basketball team.
I got them on the money line tonight.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it was like they're a heavy favorite.
They're playing the T-Wolves.
I know. So I'm just going to, I'm going with a hot
hand. What are the odds? What are you getting? What kind of price?
It's like minus 150 or something like that.
Yeah.
Let me double check here. I could have taken they were minus 4, which I still think is a pretty good deal. But I didn't want to screw around with the NBA at the end of the game and have had them play a good game. And then all of a sudden lose my bet. So even though, you know, the odds aren't great, what is it here?
You're not good. There's not a lot of value there.
Not a lot. I put down $20 to win $12.20.
Sort of like there's not a lot of value in your next statement where you're going to repeat what I said several weeks ago and you laughed at me. Patrick Kane is really good.
That's
where you're going.
That wasn't where it was going, though. But it's a good statement. And I want to get to
what trophy do you get for being the MVP?
The Hart. Oh. And that was being I stayed for the post game.
Did you really?
I stayed on NBC Sports Chicago for, of course, the handsome good time Patty Boyle.
Yeah,
but
I gotcha.
Stayed for the Patrick Kane Zoom press conference.
Oh, did you?
I did.
You consumed so many press conferences.
Lately, yes.
You do. You're a press conference guy.
And they brought up to him about the Hart Trophy, and has he ever been more valuable? It's like, and someone even tweeted me, you know, you always wanted Jimmy and the kids. That was always my mantra with Jimmy Butler. You're getting Patrick Kane and the kids right now. No, you know, no Taves. You know, Patrick Kane's leadership is never really talked about. It's his scoring ability, and it's Taves' leadership. And Sharpie wore the A before. But now, you know, Kaner's got the A and
maturity.
He's doing right. He's a more mature guy. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is where. But what I sat and I tweeted this out, and I want you to just hear this, okay? Not only is this Lankinen saving the day in overtime, but like here, and I do believe this, we know we love Eddie Olczyk. We love Eddie. So me going to Foley isn't anything that is not to love Eddie, because you always hear the Eddie Olczyk love on this radio station. That's one of our favorite
from
guys.
The deep components of our hearts. We love Eddie from way down.
And we were talking to Eddie on and off the air about a week or two ago, and Eddie was telling us, remember, I still think this is the case for road games. These guys are stationed at the United Center, and I believe the same is for Adam Amin and for Stacey King. They don't go on the road. Everything that they are seeing is off a monitor. So it's not fully from the crow's nest or from wherever in Columbus looking down at the puck calling this in overtime. This is a guy who's on looking at the monitor. And every now and then, we think we appreciate, but we don't appreciate. And I always remember when they took our Pat Foley away in the bad Wirtz years. This is when things really got bad for the Blackhawks. It was like a Friday Cubs Sox game. Carmen and I were going on the air after the Cubs Sox game, and the Hawks tried to sneak the biscuit in the basket on a Friday news dump by telling everyone that they have fired Pat Foley. And I'll never forget it. And I'm like, Pat Foley. Pat Foley's like the best play-by-play guy ever. You're firing him in his prime? And then he went to do the Wolves. And remember when Rocky takes over and John McDonough takes over, one of their first moves is they put the Hawks back on TV at home and they bring Pat Foley back. And I'm telling you, if you're not appreciating this guy, listen to this call here down the stretch. A guy who is calling the action from a monitor at the United Center as the Hawks are trying to win this game in overtime.
DeBrincat tapped it to Kane, looking back for DeBrincat. There's the pass, quick shot, what a save! Made by Corpus, out of a loose puck. Roslovic trying to get there, Murphy can't catch him. Roslovic to win the game, and a save by Lankinen. Rebound, Jones centered it. What a recovery by Kane to pick off the pass. Hawks now to the other side of the puck. Half a minute remaining in OT. Suter pulls up. Suter wants Kane back for Puse. Suter can't find a lane. Now it's Keith looking for Kane, could not catch the pass under tight checking. It's cleared up the boards for Domi with 10. Max Domi cleared it ahead. There's a breakaway chance, and Bjorkstrand for the hat trick and the winner. No, twice. Big save by Lankinen. Holy Toledo. Hawks gave up a couple last-second looks to a guy with two goals tonight.
Those two rushes before the shootout, stuff. I believe. He is just, and again, like sometimes we get bogged down. We're in the middle of the pandemic, you know, and it's just this and it's that. Like, I just had this moment yesterday where I was like, it's great that we get to get Pat Foley every single Hawks game. And the dude is so good. He is so good.
Yes, and Patrick Kane
is
awesome.
Great, too. Very awesome, good. Too. Yeah, very and good. I have a good question for Patrick Kane later in the show for you, okay? Since you brought him up in his Hart Trophy.
What, did he have a four-point night last night?
Something like that, and I think Foley and Edzo were saying like he's got like 8 points in his last couple of games or something like that. Yes, he had a four-point night, and the highlights on NBC Sports Chicago. Want to go to Brian in Mundelein. Brian, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, listen, Sylvie, I hope you guys are doing well. Yeah, I noticed you've just sort of put out there as a possibility moving up, trading up in the draft. I just want to say Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, LeBron, Anthony Davis, all those guys were drafted before 2013. Let's be honest, since 2013, the first round guys have basically sucked. You're not going to win an NBA title anymore by drafting an overall number one, number two, number three. They're not franchise-turning players. They're like 19-year-old kids. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think you can trade your way to an NBA title. It looks like you've got to sign a full-boat free agent. And I don't know why Chicago isn't a destination, but it just seems like the Bulls are stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I'll listen.
What pick was Luka Doncic?
What pick was Zion?
Luka Doncic was a high pick.
Yeah,
five.
I don't
three,
mean,
was it?
Three, right?
Yeah.
There's a trade.
Yeah, right, but I mean, he's with Atlanta and Dallas.
Zion's no good, by the way, guys.
Yeah, I
Zion's
know.
No good.
I'm just saying, like, you can still, there will still be guys in the draft that are high up in that draft that are going to be difference makers. Maybe it's more hit and miss than it used to be, but I'll take Luka Doncic on my team with the third overall pick. You?
Yes.
Okay.
And then that's when I know Johnny in Vegas is on the line. I want to get to him. Like, my point to him was there are three ways now to improve your basketball team greatly. You can draft a guy who could become really good.
And develop.
You can trade for guys who are always unhappy and they have more power than they ever have. And when they want out, they're getting out. Or you could sign a guy. So that wasn't a free agent signing pitch. I was just saying accumulate as many assets to either draft the guy or trade for the guy as possible.
You're also going to have, if you go the free agent route, you're going to have the capacity to add salaries. So there's a lot of different things that you have to be flexible and able to do, but you're right. There are different ways to become a better basketball team.
332-3776. So we got Johnny, Marcus, JR. All you guys are going to get in. Want to get to you guys. And at three, want to have the debate that's gaining a lot of traction on Twitter regarding, and this has been a conversation on this show. Brian Hanley's brought this up. Barry Rosner has brought this up before. Carmen and Yurko were talking about it today. Whether or not the Bears could actually play home games in Arlington Heights.
Oh,
we'll get to that at three.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Three, three, two, three, seven, seven, six. Talking some Bulls right now. Zach's an all-star. Want to get to some of the calls. Johnny in Vegas is always a P1, preset one.
Johnny in Vegas or Johnny Vegas?
This is Johnny in Vegas. Okay. He's always in the Twitch chat. Really good dude. Was scolding me earlier for reason.
What'd you do?
Johnny, I was getting a scolding that was unfair in my book. You were calling me a meathead, and I did not deserve it.
Well, you are a meathead. You may
right,
not have deserved
not
it at this
moment.
Point. Okay.
Right, yeah. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, you know what, Sylvie, man? It's all in a fun banter. We put the E in entertainment, right?
Oh, that's an umbrella line, yeah.
I do my part on the chat, and you do your part as a knee-head. I'm a knee-head in chat. But real quick, before we're going to go at it on here about the Bulls and Zach LaVine, real quick, when I called in, Abdallah was he's the guy that picked up the phone. He was chomping on his lunch and probably out of the hillbilly fridge, and I could barely understood what he said between his hot sauce and chomping on his hillbilly food.
Okay, Adam, tell me, give me a little brief rundown of like, give me,
yeah, what do you got?
What did you, what were you talking to Johnny about? And do it in the voice he was talking about.
I wasn't talking. I don't know what I was eating my sandwich. I didn't fridge it because I just kept it in my bag.
What's your sandwich today?
It's a Jimmy John's. It's a
that's good.
Bootlegger. It's a little roast beef and turkey.
That's what they call the bootlegger.
You do like the roast beef, right?
I do.
Did you put mayo on that thing?
No, I get no mayo, no tomato with mustard, though.
Ooh, mustard on a roast beef sandwich.
A little Dijon
that's
mustard. Yeah, a little Dijon
I like
mustard.
That too.
Come on, man.
I go with that as well.
You get a little horseradish. Do they offer horseradish sauce in any way, shape, or form?
I mean, it's Dijon mustard, so it's got a little tang to it. But I don't remember. Sorry, Johnny. I don't remember what we talked about.
Right. It's okay. You were mumbling because you had a mouthful of meat.
I did.
From your sandwich.
I did. I had a mouthful of two kinds of meat.
Wow.
Two kinds of meat in my mouth.
Johnny knows how to play.
Hey, Sylvie, listen. So, I'm a meathead like you. Hey, Sylvie, are we ready to talk?
Oh, I'm always ready, of course.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know because we were talking about Abdallah's lunch. Sorry. Yeah,
damn,
lunches.
John,
sorry.
Come on, man.
Sorry, I'm trying
we
to
only got 4 hours, brother.
Yeah. So, look, you're at one spectrum. C-Red Fred is at the other end of meathead talk for the Bulls. Look, I appreciate everything you say about, hey, why can't we get a disgruntled person that's going to come to the Bulls? You know why? Because look at Harden. He chose where he wanted to go. Westbrook, who's a washed-up guy, he went to the Wizards. What are they doing? They're in last place. So that doesn't work. LaVine, I'm not telling you I'm a meathead where I'm like, he's the best guy, but he's the best thing we had since, you know, Jimmy Butler or whatever. So no disgruntled, Sylvie, and you can chime in after I'm done with this. There's no guy who's disgruntled that's going to want to come to the Bulls if we don't even have a two or three of, like, LaVine, and all we have is, like, Markkanen or a guy that's 19 years old and Patrick Williams, whatever that's supposedly supposed to be the next superstar, but who knows that. I mean, they want to go where superstars are. They want to meet up with other players. In Chicago, tell me the last time, oh, we got Boozer? Great. Tell me the last time any superstar came to Chicago. So thank you so much, Sylvia. No, love you, man.
That's been an issue. And thanks, Johnny. That's been an issue of landing guys. I still believe there are guys who get traded who don't dictate where they want to go. That they just want out, and they want a team that could be winning, and maybe Bradley Beal wants to come here. Bradley Beal seems to like Zach LaVine. Could they mesh those two together? He played for Billy Donovan in college. Like, I just think there are a lot of guys who are very good basketball players, and there's going to be one that we're not thinking of. And you got to put yourself in position to have as much possible to give up. And that's why you just don't go for anything this year. That's my whole point.
You can't close any of these avenues. You can't just say because people haven't wanted to come, top players haven't wanted to come here in the past, doesn't mean that you have to completely write that off and then not create the opportunity for that to happen out of some stroke of luck.
Right, you know, maybe you want to make your move like Dallas made their move. Chris just made this point the other segment where he said Dallas went to Atlanta and they said Doncic is the dude. We got to get Doncic. We got to trade up and we got to get Doncic. And so maybe it's not for the disgruntled star, but you've got to have bullets in the chamber to go up and get the play. So what are the Bulls going to turn in? And my point is, for a veteran that's playing as well as he's playing now, maybe that gets you an extra first-round pick to sweeten a package eventually if you're drafting 12th this year, and then you add that and you add something else, another player, Kobe White or whatever. You just got to be open to all of it, and you can't max out this year because it's not about this year. It's about eventually trying to get that next star. Don't make trades for role players to make the postseason run this year. Make trades for superstars that could win you an eventual championship is my point.
Boom.
Marcus in Minneapolis, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
What's going on, guys? So I was listening to the podcast yesterday with Nick Friedell. I 100% agree with what Johnny said about Zach LaVine. Nick Friedell was wrong. Sylvie, you were right. The thing is, no disrespect to Jimmy Butler. The reason why I was never sold on him, because he was more of a hard worker than a naturally gifted athlete. That's the difference between him and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is a more dynamic player. He can do more. He can consistently put up those scoring numbers. Jimmy Butler wasn't like that. So we have a player like Zach LaVine, it attracts more superstar players. And even if, I don't remember one of you guys said, even if he signs a long-term contract, then that contract still has value in a future form. So some team will still want to trade for him. So I don't know why you just keep, you know, starting over and trading a good, once you get a good player, you trade him. No, and then he said, well, Zach LaVine can be our best player. That doesn't mean Zach LaVine has to be the best player. If we can get a superstar to come over here, the scrum superstar or free agent, they can be better than Zach LaVine. But Zach LaVine is a great player. He's a dynamic player, and I think he's a borderline superstar.
And he's ascending too, and yeah. That's my other
25
point
years old, 20, 26 yeah. In March, right?
Yep. JR in Berwyn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, JR?
Yo, what's up, guys? Hey, real quick before Yeah, I know that Nick Friedel is your boy, but, man, he's nuts, man. He wants to trade away Zach LaVine, man. That's just nuts, man. He wants to trade him away because he's not a true number one. I mean, there's like five true number ones in the league. How are you going to get a number one by trading Zach LaVine away? Anyway, real quick, Sylvie, I think I agree with you. If you can get a first-round pick for Thaddeus Young, man, I'm all for it, but I don't see that happening. I don't see a team getting a first-round pick for Thaddeus Young. And at this point, I'm thinking they're probably better off just hanging on to him because they're not going to get a first-round pick. And I think, in reality, I think the way the Bulls are right now, I think if assuming that, you know, the guys come back, Markkanen and Porter, and assuming all that, I think they're a playoff team. Now, if you start getting rid of guys for, you know, just young, you know, Cameron Payne-type players, then you're going to piss off Zach, and then he's going to ask for a trade in the offseason. I don't want to go there. I want to keep him happy as much as you can so you can keep him here in Chicago and attract other players like Beal or Towns, you know, to come to Chicago. I don't want to just trade Thaddeus Young for some young Cameron Payne-type player, you know, because that's all they're going to get. They're not going to get a first-round pick. Thank you.
All right, JR, thanks, John. Thank you. Chris, can I give you homework? I know you got your own show, too. Tomorrow.
He doesn't have any kids. That's true. Yeah, he doesn't have to go to bed early.
He's got time for
homework.
Let's make a Black watch list. You know, like some people are the prospect watch or whatever. There's different watch lists for many different things. Can you give me your top 10 watch list of players that you think could want out eventually that the Bulls should keep sort of posted on that are in the league currently? Is that something you'd be open to doing?
Yeah, we could do that.
And I want you to bake me a cake.
We can unveil that tomorrow.
I can't bake.
Can you wake?
Oh, that.
It wasn't me that had the problem waking. It was like, hey, Abdallah, you spoke up this room too much. Like, do I have to take this somewhere else when we live together? Like,
well, I was always on time. That's a lie. I'm never
you,
late.
You are. That's why you're here, actually.
I'm never
now,
late.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never.
That was the first qualification.
Wow. Among other things.
Yeah. Coming up in two short minutes, could you see the Bears actually playing football in Arlington Heights? That's the hot topic of the day in 2 minutes.